Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning. Welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. If you had the opportunity to tune in last Saturday, then you're aware that my very special guest, who's not only a guest, he's a friend and a ministry partner of many years, Pastor Brandon Holthouse, senior pastor of Rock Harbor Church, right here in Bakersfield, was with me last Saturday, and he's again with me this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me again.
If it's okay with you, I'd like to just continue our conversation where we left off because we ran out of time much too quickly.
Sure, that'd be great.
Last time, we largely gave a lot of time and energy and attention to the importance of defending the Lordship of Christ and the authority of Scripture as it relates to homosexual practice.
Sure.
I hear very often today, what is it with you conservative Christians and homosexuality? Do you hear that also?
I do. I hear those voices, and you have to be able to parse through that to understand why that allegation is being made. And what I have seen is what someone is trying to do is politicize a theological position. Because if they can politicize it, then it's in the realm of politics. And they can say, well, that's just conservatism versus liberalism or whatever. But really the issue is they're trying to take it out of the arena of theology. Because when you get to theology and you study this issue, it is a non-issue in many regards. It's not a debatable issue.
Right.
So I think what their tactic is to politicize it, and then I don't want to be lumped in with you know, a political party as a Christian, but that's how they're playing that game. And that's what they're doing with every issue, whether it's abortion or other issues. They're politicizing it. And then a lot of the pastors, well, I don't want to be political, and so they don't simply talk about the issues. And I think it's a strategy. It's a strategy of Satan.
Yes.
Take it out of the realm of theology and make it another issue.
Well, I would submit, especially for men and women in ministry, why would we not do everything within our power to protect the authority of Scripture and God's character? For me, that's what it really comes down to. This is so far now beyond just homosexuality. There is much more at stake, and I would submit some very specific areas that are really at stake is the denigration of biblical authority.
Yeah.
We've lost, in many respects, a coherent definition of family,
yeah,
and we are seeing the exploitation of children. That is happening.
Sure.
Tragically.
It is. And that's the thing that a lot of people are not realizing, that you're free to choose whatever you want to do. However you want to teach as a pastor, or you're free to, God gives you the freedom to make errors, to fall flat on your face, to make bad decisions. But you're not free to choose your consequences.
True, yes.
And what's happened, what you just described there, are the consequences and the fallouts for these people. Whoever they are doing what they're doing, twisting theology to suit their needs, whatever their agenda is in their church or whatnot, it's causing devastating consequences. It's destroying families. I'll give you an example of this. I heard of a mega church in Atlanta that a guy and his wife were having marital problems. Well, instead of encouraging them to stay together, per se, and trying to work on this, Well, they allowed them to divorce and then allowed the guy to hook up with a homosexual guy in the church and start a new relationship. And those two individuals are now greeters at this mega church.
Wow.
So you have to sit there and think, what was the pastor thinking by sanctioning divorce and telling him, now you two don't date until your divorce is final? What was that guy thinking? But yet 3,000 people go to his church and know this story.
Wow.
And I'm here in Bakersfield and I know it. It's a mainstream story. And you think, that's happening just not in one isolated incident. It's happening all over the country. We had another church that we knew of down south. Pastor's son, turns out he's coming out to be gay affirming, same sex attraction, so he's going to live the homosexual lifestyle. The pastor all of a sudden says, I had a novena, I had a thing in my life to where now I realize that was wrong to say homosexuality is wrong. I'm changing the way I'm going to pastor now. We're going to be a gay affirming church.
Oh.
How does that happen? So now all of a sudden the guy changes his theology for his son. So you're seeing this across the landscape, and it's multiple churches. Those are just isolated incidents, but it's happening by the dozens and dozens. So when they do that, what are the consequences of that?
Yes.
And you just mentioned the fall. It hurts the kids. It hurts families. The families are broken up. And so you have the devastation of divorce and single parenting, and it's horrible.
Yes. Well, clearly, a sign of the end times, according to the Apostle Paul, will be an abandonment of truth for the sake of personal fulfillment. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 2 says, "In the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." And we are clearly seeing that play out today.
Oh, man.
Widely.
Oh, man.
According to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth." I really submit today, in the practical sense, what we're viewing is self over truth, man over God. How is it that a Christian could so easily deceived?
And you see those verses, and you read what Paul told Timothy, and you're thinking, I'm living in this day. I'm seeing it right now. What he is describing is ultimate narcissism. That's what he's describing. And I'm going to tell you this. The researchers are watching this. Even secular researchers are watching this. Not just Barna and Christian research places like that. The secularists are even acknowledging that my generation and the younger generation, all the way down to Generation Z, they call it, have been trained on narcissism. And I don't want to step on toes, but it's in the school systems, it's in the churches, it's in society that people are being trained to be lovers themselves. Mm. And that's all that they learn. So, for instance, I'll give you an example. What are kids taught early on? In sporting events, everyone gets a trophy. Everyone's an MVP. And so the school systems, the recreational sports programs are giving people awards for accomplishing nothing. So now the big push is in school is we're going to have a big party and a celebration if the kid comes to school. And I'm thinking, where am I? We're going to throw a party and say that's a big win for the kid that he came to school today. Now, I understand there's a lot of home dysfunctions and stuff. But when did rewarding someone's duty become a prize? When did duty become something to be rewarded? It's to be expected to do your duty. Even Jesus gave a parable, not so much a parable, I'm sorry, an admonition to the apostles. That he goes, when you've done all you can do as a servant, he goes, then just tell yourself you've done your duty.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you don't get rewarded for going to church. You don't get rewarded for reading your Bible or praying. That's expected duties.
Yes.
But what's happened is a culture has been formed now, And you can see with the college-age millennials what happened in these riots in colleges, that they needed Play-Doh because of the presidential election, and they needed puppies to hold and safe rooms. And, you know, the term came out, snowflakes. That is all narcissism. What even secular psychologists are calling these new generations coming up are wounded narcissists. That it's all about them, and they have these deep wounds, and we're supposed to make them feel comfortable and give them a trophy. So, as Paul predicted, it's happening, at least in America.
Yes, it is. It is. And that actually has been ongoing for some time.
Yes, it has. It's been building.
And it's as much in the church today as it is, it seems, in the world.
Well, just to not interrupt you, but to capitalize on what are churches existing now to do? To provide the most programs, the most this, that. You could virtually live at a church today in some of the bigger churches. Every day they have stuff. Your kids, they got this program, they got that program. That you could be at the church Monday through Friday and Sunday. At what point do you go out into the world and evangelize? If you're all clumped up because the church is providing so many programs. But what happened was the church realized we're dealing with narcissists, so they said, let's give them what they want. They want a sewing club? Let's give them a sewing club. They want a felt needs thing over here? Let's give them that. And before you know it, you have 100 programs. And the churches are programmed to death because they're trying to cater to narcissists. That's been the other problem.
What is your response to the Bible is a good book, but its verses are used to clobber gays and lesbians? I don't know about you, but I hear that still pretty frequently.
I do. I think a lot of times people are conflating what they've heard from people with the Bible. And so, like we've talked about earlier, some people haven't been the most tactful. You know, Paul will admonish us, if we're going to give truth out, we need to give grace, and he goes, you need to salt it. You need to be a little salty when you give that, which means easy when you give the truth, because you could pound somebody. And there's no doubt people did that. But a lot of times, if that happened to them, they misinterpret the person with the message, and they combine the two. And what you have to do, if it's us or even a secularist, is you have to differentiate the adherence of Christianity versus Christianity itself. Because Christianity doesn't teach beating people over the head with the truth.
Right.
It teaches freedom in that truth, that you give that truth to somebody and they have the freedom to respond to it. That's what Christianity teaches. But if someone clubbed people over, well, that's on them. But what happens, Philip, and as you know, they just combine the two and say, well, Christianity is like what I experienced with that individual over there, with that pastor or that deacon or whatever. And that's wrong. You cannot do that.
Exactly. I would submit also today, in the mix of everything that's going on regarding homosexuality, the attack on truth is relentless.
Yeah.
Often what I hear is, well, that's your truth. It's not my truth. It seems as though absolute truth, the truth of God's word, is being, in so many respects, dismissed, laid aside. That is a huge, huge concern.
It is, because the postmodern era is that truth is relative, as you know, and we're in a post-Christian era now. And as the church, if it continues to adopt the ways of the world, it's going to get more postmodern. That truth is relative. And so, Once truth is relative, you have no boundaries anymore. You have no limitations on behavior or thought or whatever. And it's a dangerous place to be, because you're in a place where you can create your own reality and basically check out.
Life has no boundaries.
That's right. And when life has no boundaries and you want to call your own shots, that goes back to the garden of what he told Adam and Eve, saying, you know, he's holding out on you because he knows if you know this information, you'll be like him. You'll be a god. You'll be autonomous.
In some respects, it comes back to, did God really say?
It sure does.
Where have we heard that before? We're hearing it again today.
Yeah, and it's the same lie that he spoke in the garden, and he's still speaking to people today. To doubt the word of God, then eventually to deny the word of God. So it starts with that pattern. Doubt it, did God say? And then denial. You won't die. And that's what you see now happening with the church or the message unto the community.
Yes. You and I are very, very familiar with the many, many various common pro-gay arguments, such as homosexuality is inborn, the born that way theory notion,
yeah,
as well as homosexuality is unchangeable, God is okay with same-sex marriage, and you're just being homophobic.
Right.
Many of those terms, especially homophobe, is often so misused because to truly be homophobic means that you have an irrational fear of homosexuals.
Right.
I don't fear homosexual men and women. I just disagree with the behavior. And those are dramatically different. I don't hate. Christians don't hate anyone.
That's right.
We're to reach them in the love of Christ. But in terms of the whole born that way theory, mm-hmm. it's always been a theory. It's always been a notion. It's always been a feeling, a personal belief. Mm-hmm. Scripture does not validate born that way. Science has not been able to prove that homosexuality is genetic. God says that homosexuals can change.
That's right.
The whole change aspect as relates to this particular behavior is still being greatly, greatly challenged. But God in his word says change is possible. Now, who are you going to believe?
Right.
What the world is preaching or God? It really comes down to that simple platform.
Yeah.
God is okay with same-sex marriage. Throughout the entire Bible, every biblical example of marriage is always between a man and a woman.
That's
there
right.
are no exceptions.
That's right.
And again, being homophobic, we're not being homophobic. I would submit today that when we challenge homosexual practice, we're going to be labeled hateful, a bigot, and homophobic, but we're really defending God's character and the authority of his word. And that, again, as we shared earlier, comes with a price.
It sure does. And I think these statements that you see, these pro-gay arguments, Philip, it's not that they don't know the arguments either. They know a lot of their arguments don't hold water, but yet they keep preaching it. They know even in science on other issues, they know about abortion. And you know, you find out, you know, these undercover camera people like the Veritas Project that uncovers Planned Parenthood and just uncovered what happened on Twitter about them, you know, erasing or deleting people's posts and whatnot or shadowing them. What you start finding out is they know this, what you just said. They know that this argument that homosexuality is inborn is not provable.
Right.
They know that.
Yes.
So what is the game that they're playing? Well, you tell a lie long enough, people start believing it.
Exactly.
And that's whether it's Hitler or whether that's Mussolini or the LGBT group that pushes things or Planned Parenthood or whatever the organization or individual is. They know they don't have the evidence. So what do they typically do? They learn this from the Marxists. They learn this from the communists. Shout louder and demonize your opponents, which is Saul Alinsky tactics.
Yes.
They got this straight from the communists. And so I'm seeing these tactics, these things, homophobic, whatever, Islamophobic, whatever that you know, whatever the phobic is. It is a demonization of your opponent when you do not have evidence behind you. Our world doesn't understand the tactics, but all they'd have to do is read Saul Alinsky. He told them how to do it. But that's what they did to Jesus. If the tactics are old, so Jesus was innocent. He was completely sinless. But what did they do? They just made up stuff.
Yes.
They just started making up stuff and accused him of things he didn't do. Well, that's what they're doing now with this whole argumentation. The facts are not on their side. And as you know, how come they don't talk about how unhealthy of a lifestyle this really is?
Exactly. That often is not brought to the conversation.
Right.
Deliberately.
You know, and when we went through this whole thing with Obamacare, and they were trying to tell us, I don't want you guys eating at McDonald's, and I don't want you eating bacon because it's not healthy if we're all going to be on some universal health care. Well, then how come you don't bring up that lifestyle? Because if you were worried about a drain on the health care, that would be a big drain.
Absolutely.
Because that's not a thing like cancer. That is a chosen practice. And yet you turn a blind eye to it. So at the end of the day, you know they're playing a game with us.
Absolutely.
And these slogans are there just to shut us up. Don't talk. Stay silent. Because no one wants to be labeled a racist, a homophobic. No one wants to be labeled that. And so I think what the Christians have to do is push through that and realize that's a silencing argument.
You know, it's very, very interesting, and this came my way just not that long ago. Even some of the leading pro-gay activists within the APA, the American Psychiatric Association, have long been telling their colleagues at the APA, stop using the born that way statement, because everyone knows it's not true.
Yeah,
and
right.
Really, take it a step even further, go to any pro-gay website. You will not find any pro-gay websites making the statement born that way, because they know if they do, they've got to back it up with a scientific study, and there are none.
That's right. That's
right. So born that way has always been an opinion, a notion, a theory, never, ever proven.
Right.
And I would submit, and I continue to believe, that homosexuality, the practice thereof, it's an acquired behavior in many, many respects, and therefore it can be unacquired.
That's right.
Once again, more importantly, God says change is possible.
That's right.
Now, define change. It's going to differ from person to person. There's different levels, different degrees.
Mm-hmm.
But I would submit, whatever the habit, whatever the addiction, whatever the compulsive behavior, it takes total unconditional surrender to God.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a point that many men and women today are simply unwilling to offer. They don't want God to have unhindered way. They want to hold on to certain aspects of their life. And I can tell you, for any man or woman that's moved on from the brokenness of same-sex attraction, they shut the door on homosexuality. I mean, they shut it. They slammed it and viewed it as you are no longer an option, and that's what it takes.
It sure does. Now, you're hitting on a good point, because in my counseling, whether it's this issue or other issues, at the key that you said is an identity, okay? A lot of people think their identities are fixed. And simple identity ideas like, I'm all messed up, I'm broken, I will always be this way, I'm this, I'm that. They tell themselves these lies, or Satan gives them the lies. We don't know. It's either them or Satan. Somebody's giving them a lie. And they believe this lie about their identity.
And they speak it over their own life.
They sure do. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It does.
And so it's interesting that you mentioned this identity thing, because now that we become Christians, we are shown in the New Testament what our identity is in Christ. And we're to believe that, and that this is who we are. You are no longer that person. And even before we come to Christ, if we're convinced that our identities are unchangeable, we will take that into Christianity with us, even if we get saved. I still deal with Christians. I do primarily Christian counseling. I don't do secular counseling. I'm still struggling with Christians who don't know who they are in Christ. They think they have an identity from their past, their childhood, their trauma, their experiences. And it takes quite a long time to shake that identity, because they think it's fixed. So, for instance, if they did practice homosexuality, or if they did practice lesbianism, or whatever the issue is, they don't see it as an act that was out of bounds, as a transgression. They see it as an identity, that I'm a homosexual. And what I tell them is, no, you committed homosexual acts, or you did a lesbian act that was a transgression, but that's not really who you are, because you're made in the image of God. That's really who you are.
They are allowing that which tempts them to define their identity.
Bingo. And they won't let the identity go.
Right.
And they struggle with it. And so it's interesting that this identity thing crosses all kinds of issues. But you're right. Until they get to that point of saying, who really am I? I don't need to be defined by the transgressions I made in life. That was mistakes, and we all made mistakes. I need to be defined by who I am now in Christ.
And you know, in the practical sense, if we're really going to move into our true identity in Christ, we have to let the past go.
We
cannot allow the past to dictate who we are in Christ today.
That's right.
But so many men and women are walking around under this cloud of condemnation, guilt, and shame based entirely upon their past. Well, if God's thrown it in the sea of forgetfulness, brother, sister, do the same.
Right.
And move on.
And so you think that you mentioned the shame-based identity. if you can't shake the shame-based identity, you carry it. You're in shame all the time. You're in condemnation all the time.
Yes.
And so what do they do? So to alleviate this pain that's inside of them, they've got to find behaviors that are mood-altering to make them feel good. And it turns into an addiction, or it could be a homosexual addiction. It could be a porn addiction. It could be a food addiction. It doesn't matter. They're going to do some type of pain-altering behavior to kill that shame-based identity.
Because we've all become addicted to feeling good.
Right.
I want to feel good. Even when you sit in church, okay, Pastor, I'm here. Make me feel good.
That's right. And studies show the brain releases chemicals, and they have this euphoric feeling, whether it's eating food at night or whatever, and the dopamine gets released, and it's a very addicting thing. So then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. See, I am this because I can't stop doing this. And they're locked, and Satan's got them.
Exactly. We've turned our attention to that we clearly see in so many respects, as the Apostle Paul says, that we are in perilous times.
Yeah.
Because a lot of men and women today are being led astray. They've got itchy ears. They're focusing on what feels good, sounds good, based upon the truth of God's word.
Yeah.
How do we turn this around?
Wow. That's a good question. Well, I don't know if we can. I don't know. I think you and I and the remnant are doing what we need to do and keep telling the truth regardless of the pushback. I think we need to prepare for more pushback. It's coming. And understand that there's a dividing line now in the church. And we have to understand what side we're on. You know, there was dividing lines with Joshua, dividing lines with Moses, and now there's a dividing line in the church. And it's not just simply this issue, it's multiple issues.
Yes.
But Christians have better figure out what side they're on and be willing to take the heat. Christ said, take up your cross daily and follow me. The cross was an emblem of shame in his culture. And it is now. He is saying, bear the shame that comes with being a Christian. Not this identity shame, but shame of the pushback from the world. That they're going to call us all these things. We need to prepare for that. So I think the remnant just needs to get ready for this war that we're in, this spiritual war, and keep fighting it.
For me, as minister, I have the obligation, I have the responsibility, I have the privilege of continuing to teach what I believe is the truth and the authority of God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, when I'm doing that or have done that, at some point I do have to take a step back and say, okay, God, you're God, I'm not. I'm trusting you to do the rest.
Yeah.
It takes a movement of the Holy Spirit, but we must not lower the bar on the truth and the authority of Scripture and the Lordship of Christ.
That's right.
There's a difference, obviously, in knowing Jesus as Savior versus Lord. If you know Jesus as Lord, he will also be Lord of your sexuality. Does that mean that you won't be tempted? You won't have struggles in life? Of course not.
Right.
We're all having struggles. Every Christian has not fully arrived. That's not going to occur until we either go home to be with him or he comes back to get us.
That's right.
But I see it as a real privilege to uphold God's word in this special time in history.
Well, I think we got to take the cue from Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness, and he continued to preach, and he was only able to convince 8 people to get on that ark. Well, at the end of the day, if 8 people listen to me and their lives are changed, it was worth it.
Absolutely. Pastor Brandon, website address for Rock Harbor Church is?
Rockharborchurch.net. You can go there. Sermons are up there. All kinds of Bible helps are up there. And so you can surf through that website and get all that information.
Excellent. Always, always a pleasure to have you here, sir. Thank you so much. For all those listening, thanks so much for being with us this morning. Hope you'll tune in again next Saturday. Same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.